During these past several weeks, we've been looking at the character of Joshua from the scriptures, someone who we don't really think too much about because he walked in the shadow of Moses, the greatest prophet of all, until Jesus declared that John the Baptist had that title. But the nation of Israel always looked to Moses as the greatest of the prophets and the one who recorded the law as God gave it to his people. As we've walked on this journey with Moses, we've discovered some things about him that have been meaningful for us. And the first one is fight. Joshua first appears, as we saw 3 weeks ago, in a place where he's called to take up the sword and to defend the people who are being attacked. They're being attacked without any kind of aggravation on their part. Just a group that's come against them in the desert as God has delivered them. And as we look at our map, we see that they came out of Egypt and Goshen again. This is old news for those of you who've been with us all along. They've traveled across the Red Sea there at Migdal, we believe. Then they've come down through, and when they got to Rephidim near the bottom of the Red Arrow on the left side, that is where they were encountered by the Midianites and had to fight against them. Then they went down to Mount Horeb, and there we found that even as the Lord's presence came and dwelt with them, Joshua was one who was not just fighting, but also intently listening, abiding in the presence of God, for this would be a place where he would be formed in the way that he needed to be formed, as all of us are formed in the presence of God, and hence our gathering on a weekly basis to be sure that we are in spaces where we are being forged into the image of his dear Son. Then lastly, they went back up the track, following the arrows up to the little place called Kadesh Barnea there, and there spies were sent to scope out the land to the north that they were going to be given to inherit. However, most of them lived in fear, and we discovered that at a moment when the whole community was about to implode and the people were ready to go back to slavery in Egypt, finally Joshua finds his voice and speaks up with timely words. Words that preserve the community, words that bless life, words that encourage rather than continue to keep fear alive and in the driver's seat. Well, now, since last Sunday's episode at Kadesh Barnea, many years have passed. For the Lord said, no, if you are too afraid, you will not see the land, your children will. I will send you roaming through the desert. And although there isn't enough red ink to go round and round all the spaces that the people went next, nor is it possible to trace, for they were roaming, not in identifiable places, but as the Lord was guiding them with his presence continually and providing for their needs, even in the midst of this discipline for their lack of faith. The Lord preserved them, and finally, after 40 years, they come up along the far right edge of what you see in the picture there, around to what looks like it says Dibon there, and a little bit further north to Mount, what does it say? Nebo, I think. Should say Nebo, yes, in gold. Mount Nebo up in the far right corner. And this is the place at which Moses says goodbye to the people. For God has promised that he also is in the generation that will not enter the land. But Joshua will be the one who leads them in. And Joshua is one of only two humans who actually are over the age of 40 who enter the land. So maybe it's natural that the people look to Joshua because he's the only one, besides Caleb, who actually remembered what it was like to be a slave. All the others were born during this incessant wandering period that never seemed to end, but now at last would. And hence, we come to the new book of the Bible, the era of what God is wanting to do through his people and what Joshua must learn and do next. Here with me, if you would, the word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Joshua's aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to you, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates in the north, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Glory to God. What strong words for this now prepared leader of God's people. What strong words for people like us who are also being prepared to lead others who have never met him to know him. The first thing that God says to him is this: arise, cross over. There's a boundary. You've set a boundary. I've set a boundary in this land, and now it's time for you to go over. And as you do, wherever your foot lands, not anyone will be able to stand in resistance to you. The original language says it in a way that says, if you come face to face with them, they will have to give way. It will be like that every single time. As if there won't be a battle to fight anymore. As if their very presence, their very being there, will just push it back. God has an amazing way. His force goes before us and lights the way, and Joshua is being reminded of this. He's seen 40 years ago some things in this land. He's had confidence that God would work, but he didn't expect God to say this. Now, before we go any further, there's something very important that sometimes eludes our notice in the text because it just seems like tons of details that have no bearing on what God is saying. Notice that God takes significant time to describe the boundaries. God doesn't say take over the world. God doesn't say go wherever you want and I'll bless whatever you do. God says wherever you go in the boundaries that I have in mind for you. Sometimes Christians get confident and think they can just name it and claim it. But this isn't what God said. He said, everywhere you go within this space, I will clear for you. Our God is a God of healthy boundaries. And he's not just interested in those who know him. He's interested in all the world. And he wants there to be spaces that are protected for people who do not yet know him. It is not my business or your business to go marching to victory and taking whatever we think God wants us to have. God sets up boundaries because his compassion stretches across the entire earth. And sometimes in our boldness, I've even heard people say that. Wait, we even had a guest come and speak to one of our groups here at the church. And I remember this person telling our people, well, you need to just say, God, this is what I need. This is what you're going to give, and you're going to give it this month. Do not presume upon a God who has in mind for you specific things. Discern what those specific things are and move freely and gladly and boldly within those boundaries, not outside of them. Some things are not meant for you and I. Some people are not meant for you and I. Some situations and problems are not meant for you and I to fix or start a battle with. But some are. Joshua has spent many years in the presence of God just keeping his mouth shut, watching where the presence of God goes, following it through the desert for 40 years. He's listened way more than he's claimed. And so when Joshua hears this word, he's got a long history. Now, if you and I spent 40 years listening to God, pleading for his direction, and then he showed us what to move, we wouldn't do a bad thing that way, even as Joshua is not. Everything that follows must circle back to this point because it's the first thing God says. Before he tells them to go and do these things, these are the boundaries. What are the boundaries that God has set in your life? Don't go to certain places. Don't participate in certain activities. Don't engage with these people over here. It will lead you to your own destruction. You're on your own. If you step outside of God's boundaries and you participate in activities that God is not in, that he has not sanctioned for you, you do it on your own strength, and you will quickly discover how horrific that can be. But when you operate within the bounds that he has given, there's peace, strength, security, freedom. Oh, we would do well, my friends, to continuously seek, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for us? What do you have for this neighborhood? What do you want us to reverse on? Where do you want us to put our feet to step and step no farther? Oh, how much we need to pray. How much we need to listen to understand what God's good boundaries are for us. Not just explore whatever comes into our mind and heart to do. That's never been the plan for God's people, ever. God has always had a plan from the days of the ancients that he's still marching through. The kingdom of God will extend across the earth in his time and his way, and we have a part to play. So let's get back to what Joshua learns. Notice that three times God uses this phrase, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. Now, when God repeats himself, just like a parent talking to a young child, you probably better listen to exactly what that means because it's important. After you know the boundaries, be strong and courageous. I'd like to suggest to you that in our contemporary language, these words meant very similar overlapping things. Meant strong, be strong meant prepare yourself, pull it together, gather your strength, gather your resources, get ready to move. Okay, I know what that means. Be aware, take account. What are my strengths? What are my capacities? What are my abilities to serve the Lord? How can I move with him? What do I bring to the table? Peter and James and John were fishermen. They weren't sure what they brought to the table. They had been passed over in earlier years to be trained to be rabbis themselves, and now this itinerant rabbi named Jesus told them that he would make them fishers of men. Okay, well, I don't know how that works because all I know how to do is fish. I'm a blue-collar guy. But no matter whether you wear a blue collar or a white collar or you have no collar because you're between jobs, God has something in mind for you. And he says, follow me. I will show you what to do. Be strong. Strengthen. Prepare yourself. Courageous. Courageous. You must step forward without fear. We talked about that last week. You must step forward with assurance. Now, there are three things here that illustrate why God says this three times and what he adds to it each time he says it. Verse 6, God talks to him about, I forgot this part. Let's go back. Be strong and courageous. Perhaps the best English word to translate these two that captures them both is the word seize. Now, maybe you've heard the word seize the day. Sometimes I've heard that as a popular expression. It came from a movie or something in the past. I don't even know. But seize is a great word that identifies both of these commands that God is giving to his servant and to his people. I want you to seize a hold of the things that I have in mind for you. And the first time that God says seize or be strong and courageous, God talks in verse 6 about there's an inheritance. This has been the plan. You and your people, my people, are going to have this space in which to live and move and have their being. This is the place from which all the nations will observe. It, interestingly, is at the crossroads of three continents. Europe and Asia and Africa all meet in this one little tier, and that's why there were caravan routes going through it constantly. God had in mind to put his people right here at the center of everything. Why? Because God's interest is for the whole world. And he knows that the whole world's going to come through this land. And indeed, it's a hotbed even to this day. Constant conflict, constant desire for who owns it, who should have it. If you've ever been there, boy, they tear things down. Churches, mosques, temples, they just keep building them right on top of each other because that is sacred space and everybody wants a piece of it. It's at the center of the human universe, to be quite honest. God wanted it right at the center because he wanted all the nations to see, like a city on a hill is put there to show the light, to show the truth of God. But anyway, God says, be strong and courageous. You have an inheritance. An inheritance assumes a legacy. This is where my people are going to live. And this is what they're going to leave to their children and their children and their children. Be strong and courageous, for you have an inheritance and you have a legacy. Now, many of you in this room are parents. Many of you are grandparents. Maybe you've thought about this. What am I going to leave behind? Oh, wait a minute. Let's pull back from the money angle. Let's think about what you leave behind as an example. Let's think about what kind of person of God you are. What is your legacy for the people who follow you? Is it a legacy of bitterness of how you've hurt me and I'm going to protect myself for the rest of my life? Screw you. Is it a legacy of I've got to look out for myself and you're on your own, kid? Good luck. Is it a legacy of I just want to forget about everything that's happened in the past and we'll just pretend it wasn't there? My dear friends, what is it that you inhabit mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, relationally? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? The voice of God comes to us and says, fine, you're in the space where I've put you. What are you leaving behind? What kind of person are you? How will you be remembered? How will you be honored? How will you be thought of? What will your children say was your greatest influence? I've heard several of you tell me stories about grandmothers who prayed every day. They got up early in the morning. They prayed for every kid. They prayed for every grandkid. They prayed for everybody in the village. They prayed for everybody who came to their church. They prayed, 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 prayed. I would like to suggest to you that you are the result of that inheritance. But now, you are the one who's inherited, and you have the opportunity to leave a legacy. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Do I tend to those things? Do I seize hold of every person in prayer and say, oh God, bring them out of this, help them through this, strengthen them through this? How often do I go through the inheritance that's mine? How often do I seize a hold of the things that have happened around me and the people in my lives and the situations in my lives and say, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for him, I'm praying for her, I'm praying for them, I'm praying for this neighborhood? I'm afraid our scorecard isn't real good on this part of C's. We have prayer meetings every month, and maybe 6 people come. And I'm pretty sure there's more than 6 of you here right now. So where are you praying? Where are you seizing? Where are you being strong? Where are you being courageous? Where are you creating the legacy that you want your children and your grandchildren to know God? Maybe you'll say, you know what? I've got kids, and they're just so far away. They don't give a rip about God. Really? Well, guess what? You're the one with the inheritance. You're the one that God wants to use to bring power to push out all the other things. Nothing can stand in the face of that. Nothing. Everywhere you put your foot, everywhere you claim, God will move. He said that he'll do it. Do you believe it? If you believe it, why aren't you here? Why aren't you praying? Where are you praying? You don't have to be here. Don't let me ride you about that. But the fact is, you have a work to do, and so do I. Are you doing it or not? Or is your legacy being squandered on yourself? So that other people will have it, and praise God for grandma, but too bad for the grandkids. What's it going to be? Be strong, courageous, seize. Joshua, you are the oldest person in the room right now. Joshua, it's up to you. You have to seize this. You have to lead the charge. Everybody else is younger. Everybody else is looking up to you. My kids don't look up to me. Don't you think for a minute they don't. They're watching. Oh, and they're critical and nasty sometimes, but they're watching. What kind of energy exudes from you? Is it positive? Is it sweeping? Is it drawing? Is it welcoming? Seize. Seize them. Seize them in prayer. Grab hold of them. Wrestle those things to the ground. It is yours to take. And all their friends and all your neighbors and all your coworkers. Or are you just trying to survive and save yourself? God, I'm not sure I like it when you say, be strong and courageous. But then there's verse 7. God repeats himself. Joshua, be strong and courageous. And he starts to talk about his guidelines. Those laws that I gave you back on my holy mountain in the southern end of the peninsula, know them like the back of your hand. Know them inside and out. Understand what they are. Remember the stories. And notice that it's not just the laws, the Ten Commandments. I hope many of you know them by heart. I do. I was just trying to rehearse them the other day, and I couldn't figure out where 6 and 7 were. But I kept working it because I felt God say to me, George, stay on it. Know the commandments. Know them clearly. But notice that the books up till now that Moses has have written for this people includes more than just commandments. It includes stories, horrific stories about Abraham, Isaac, their screw-up kids, everything they did wrong. Do you know those stories? Yesterday, our men were looking at the story of Joseph. We couldn't help getting sidetracked, not just on Joseph, but on his older brother Reuben and his older brother Simeon and his older brother Simon and his brother Judah and how they're each doing their own thing and creating their own thing, and they're just like their dad, and it's all messed up, and I don't even want to read this. It's so depressing. But God says, every single thing, every detail, Joshua, every word that you've been written, you should know. Are you in places where you're learning those things? You know, that's why we do Sunday school. That's why we do ladies' Bible study. That's why we have children's classes. That's why we have youth groups on Thursday. No. Study to show yourself approved. Someone who needs not be ashamed, but knows what God has said and done. The Lord said, do not veer from the left or the right. Some people love to say, you know, I love the God of love who says this, but I don't love it when God tells me I can't have this. I don't love it when God tells me I can't relate like this. I don't like it when God tells me, I'm going to take the parts of God I like and praise the Lord. It's just a big buffet. God didn't say that to Joshua. He said, don't you veer from it, not to the right, not to the left, not one thing. You learn exactly what I have told my servant Moses, because if you do, then you will be prosperous. If you don't, you're on your own. Good luck against the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. Let me know how that works out for you. But if you stick to these rules, if you do what I say, if you learn my words, if you meditate on them day and night, then you will have my power, you will have my blessing, and you will roll those people right on out. Who's against you, Christian? Who's against you, person of God, son and daughter of God? What kind of trouble do they bring you in your life? Do they like to give you grief? Is it a supervisor who rides your rear end till you are just frustrated to pieces? God, how do I respond to adversity? What does your word show me about how I respond to those that come against me? Do you know? Oh, Joshua, you may think it's all about movement and battle, but it's really about listening to what I've already said. Some people are looking for wisdom from God, and they have no clue what he's already given them. Why should God give you any more specific information when he's already given you so much you totally ignore? Oh, God, I don't like it when you say, be strong and take courage. I'm not sure I'm up for that. It's not really comfortable doing that. Then God says it one more time. Verse 9. Have I not said to you, seize? Have I not said to you, Joshua, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There are two ways that you and I will get off course every time. And one is fear. Fear is fear of outside forces. But God, you don't understand. The bill's coming. But God, you don't understand. They hurt me. But God, you don't understand. I have this thing I've got to take care of. God, you don't understand. I have this other priority. I got to look for a job. I got to take care of business. I can't pay attention to your word. I can't pay attention to being with your people. I can't be transformed by you. I got to live in this world today. Do not be afraid of outside forces. I take care of outside forces. Fear comes from what we know we have to fight against from the outside. Discouragement comes from what we have to fear and fight against from the inside. You see, there will be enemies who will try and block your path, mess up your life. Those are the outside groups. They can incite fear in you. But then there's people from the inside, people in your own church, family. God have mercy on us, everyone, and they're going to cause you grief. And you're going to want to avoid them, and you're not going to want to talk to them. They will discourage you. I don't even know why I go to that church anymore. I don't go away feeling encouraged at all. These people are so negative. They're backbiting. They're gossipy. I'm so discouraged. I want to quit. You ever felt like that? God says, there's just as many messed up people inside as there are outside the community, Joshua. And you've watched it because all of your contemporaries are dead in the desert, every one of them except Caleb. You were the only two who had the courage to not be discouraged when everyone else said, oh, there's Nephilim in the land, they're going to crush us. You said, no, we got this. God is with us. Indeed, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged by what happens inside. Don't be afraid by what happens outside. Hear me well, Joshua. Have I not told you, seize? Have I not told you, be strong and courageous? Oh, Lord, okay, I get it. Seize. You will go with me wherever I go. And again, wherever I go, within the boundaries that you have established. In what you've already provided to me, and what you've already shown me from the scriptures, am I on it? Am I seeking out those things? Because as I do, and as I do them faithfully, and as I do them to the best of my capacity, God will bless. And he'll push everything out of the way. Do you want that? Do you want to seize all that God wants you to seize for yourself, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your neighbors, for your coworkers, for your dear friends? These words are for all of us. We enter into a new place. We don't know where it's going to take us. We don't know what we're going to find there, but we know this. God said that when we're moving in alignment with what he's given and what he's provided and how he's paved ahead, all of the outside force, all the inside force, it's going to be melting away. We're just going to pray, we're going to listen, we're going to discern, we're going to move with that. My dear friend, don't squander your inheritance. Don't live in an isolated, protective environment. God is forming a people and he longs to use them to transform the whole world. That's what he's always been about. And that's what he was about in Joshua's time, and that's what he's about now. He wants to forge us as a people. He wants to use us for his purposes. He wants us to find his blessing, to not be in fear or discouragement, to seize the things that he has for us, to live in the spaces he's given us, to take the things that he generously provides as we pray and seek him first and do not veer to the left or to the right in anything that he has shown us. I love this picture. It's a picture, I'm told, from the top of Mount Nebo. And of course, as Moses stood on the mountain where he would die and not cross over, Joshua would. You and I, like Joshua, have an opportunity to enter into the living, wonderful spaces, the generous places that God desires for us. And if we can get out of thinking about that in a strictly financial or economic sense, although that's true too, and think of about it in our own emotional, mental, physical, spiritual space. Oh, how I long to be in the place that God is leading. How I long to be strong and courageous as the Lord has directed his servant and his servant and his servants. Do you want it too? It requires movement. It requires engagement. It requires gathering your strength. It requires pressing forward. Ah, how he longs for us to take up with the things he's preparing. Our musicians are coming. We're going to sing a song. Maybe you're longing for God's strength and you want to show him, I'm ready to move, God. I hope that you will make this song your prayer. And if you want to pray, of course you always can. Our kneeling rails are there for just that purpose, and there is no better thing to do with our time on a Sunday morning than to seek God, to listen, to plead for his strength, his courage, his grace.